How many parts does it take to make a clock work? How many parts does it take to make an engine run? How many parts can be taken out of that engine without being replaced for those kinds of things to still work? The title of our series is Your Part Matters. And that's the biblical truth that we're looking at this morning. I'm so thankful that you're able to make it out here this morning. More than half of us are not. I hope you consider yourself blessed to be able to be here. I see some of you that haven't been able to be here in a couple of weeks, and it's so good to see you. I see one couple here I haven't seen for at least 15 or 20 years. They've been in Florida and decided they had enough of that hot weather and they wanted to come back to Ohio. Why? I'll never know. I wanted to ask them if they wish they waited one more week before returning, but they've moved back up north, and it's good to have them in these northern parts here this morning. But I want to convince you through this series that your part really matters, because it's a biblical truth, and it is a truth that we're looking at through this series. Our text that we just read uses the analogy of the human body and all the different members that take place and do their part for the human body to make the body work. Now, what we've decided to do in our series, instead of using the analogy, the anatomy of the human body, we've decided to use the analogy of the combustible engine here and all the parts that it takes to make a combustible engine work. And the first point is just obviously clear when you look at an engine like this, that your part matters, just like every other part driving this engine. Your part matters. Whatever part you're playing, your part matters. In fact, it's only with all the parts working together that this engine runs at all. Your part and my part. You may be a spark plug. And maybe all you are. I may be a spark plug wire. But what good is a spark plug wire without a spark plug? Your part really matters. Your brother over there, he may be a piston, a very important part of the engine. Your sister over there, she may be the crankshaft. Or maybe it's the other way around, I don't know. The Lord decides. The Lord chooses which part each of us are going to play. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how your part matters, because it's only as each part finds its part and plays its part that allows this engine to run at all. It takes all the filters, all the sensors, all the wires, all the cables, all the valves working together, just as the engineer designed, to pull this off and make this motor run. There's no insignificant part in this process. Now, last Sunday, we heard Michael look the engine over, and he said, as he walked around the back of the engine, he was wondering if it was here. He said, I think I'm the dipstick. Okay? And we all chuckled a little last week, too, you know, that he thought he was the dipstick, as if, you know, that was a little joke. But I had several people go out the door, and some of you are here this morning, and you reminded me just how important the dipstick is. A lot of people have lost their whole engine simply because they didn't pull their dipstick and check it. Amen? Fellas, can I hear an amen? All right, ladies, pull that dipstick and check it. Several years ago, I thought I would save my daughter some money, and so I changed her oil, and she probably remembers this. I drained the oil, I changed the filter, I put 4.5 quarts of 5W30 back in. Took me about 20, 30 minutes, and she was back on the road calling me as she drove past Cedar Street, saying her oil light was on and her engine was making a terrible noise. What should she do? And what did Dad tell her to do? Turn it off! Turn it off! Whatever you do, turn it off. It turns out that when I unscrewed the old oil filter and threw it away, I forgot to look. The old gasket didn't come off with the old filter. the old gasket stayed mounted to the engine oil filter mount. And so when I put the new gasket on with the new filter as I was supposed to, I was actually installing one filter against another filter, which didn't make a good seal at all. And it's something I would have known had I let that engine run just a little bit in the driveway before sending her off to Columbus, and then pulled the dipstick and checked the oil. And I would have seen I was losing it below the car. And we could have avoided what might have been a very costly repair, if not the ruination of the whole engine. That's how important the dipstick is. So I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that's like Michael thinking, I don't know, I don't see myself very important. I think I'm the dipstick around here. If that's what you are, I can assure you we need you. Because your part really matters. You may be the only thing standing between a well-oiled machine and a terrible calamity. That's how important a dipstick is. Now, what about all these other parts? If a dipstick is that important, how about all these other parts that we're looking at here this morning? I had a kind mechanic provide the engine for us and these different parts this morning. I'm not even sure if I can place them, but you know, we've got one belt here. How important is this one little belt to the engine's running? You know, the engine may run, if it's a fan belt, the engine may run for a time without that belt. About how long? How many mechanics we got here this morning? How long would the engine run without a fan belt? You'd get a few minutes out of it, right? How long you think? Long enough to overheat, however long that took. All right, until it got so hot, the engine would actually lock up. It'd quit, probably be ruined forever. Just that one little part is that important. Now, inside here are the spark plugs. In fact, some of these parts, I'm told, came out of this very engine. It happens to be a four-cylinder. And this is just one plug among a four-cylinder. Yeah, it's a used plug, all right. How important is that one plug to the running of the engine? Pretty important. I mean, if you pulled it, engine might not stop, but it'd be very noticeable, wouldn't it? In a four-cylinder engine, it'd be very noticeable if you pulled one plug. It may not run for long. I'm going to be tested here. This is the, what do you call the idle control, the air control module. What's this called? Someone knows what this is called. What is it? Throttle body, there you go, deciding how much air is getting into the intake system. Here is the intake system here. Air going down into the engine, way more than I know about. This is only a part, I don't know if I've ever seen this part, but I've heard about it. Anybody know what that is? That's the computer out of your car. How long is your car going to run without that guy? Not going to run at all, is it? I mean, they're only little parts. How important could they be to this, you know, 300-pound motor? I could hold that between two fingers. But no, it's one engine, but there are many parts, and it takes each part working together to make this engine run. That's why Gary McRae's life group this last Thursday reminded us how it was the Apostle Paul who said, I planted the seed and Apollos watered the seed, but it was God who gave it its growth. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The way God designed this engine to run is through a partnership of parts. My part and your part and God's part. All our parts working together. That's what keeps God's engine purring along. And that's why I want to convince you that your part really matters. Your part matters just like every other part that's driving this engine. But we also need to acknowledge that your part can be replaced and will be replaced just like every other part that's driving this engine. And that's not to downplay your importance. You play an important part. In fact, you play such an important part that when you can no longer play your part has to be replaced for the engine to keep running. It's a testimony to how important a part you play. It's why Paul told Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to other faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. Why did Paul say that to Timothy? Timothy, what I've taught you, you teach others so that those others will be able to teach others also. Why do we have this long chain being passed down of responsibility? Because Paul knew that the time of his departure was at hand, and it wouldn't be long until Timothy would also be following Paul, and Paul and Timothy would depart, and these departed parts would be needing to be replaced by other parts so that their part would continue doing its part in running the engine. Now, I suspect that many of these parts, if not all of them here this morning, are used parts. Some, our mechanic tells me, may have come out of this very engine. They are parts that did their part until they wore out. But when they wore out, they needed to be replaced by other parts. Who's going to step up and take the place of those who went before us and wore themselves out, doing their part for the Lord Jesus and keeping his engine running? And who's going to take our place when our time comes, our departure time comes, and we wear out? I'm telling you. And in fact, God's telling you this morning, your part really matters. Every part matters. It matters so much that sooner or later, every part has to be replaced. This engine's been running for over 2,000 years now. That's a lot of generations that have served, played their parts, and wore out, and had to be replaced. Because the engine couldn't run without that part. There was no part that was not essential. Down on the Ohio River, just outside Gallipolis, there's a rest stop that displays this part. This is the part the engineers say failed and caused the Silver Bridge between Gallipolis and Point Pleasant to collapse on December 15th, 1967, unfortunately, in the middle of rush hour traffic. That is still the deadliest bridge accident in U.S. history, just 70 or 80 miles down the road. Lynn and I cross that every time we go home where the bridge has been replaced. 46 people died on that day. Two were never found. Investigators attribute the failure of a single eye bar in the long chain that held that bridge up, a very small crack they found after the demise of the bridge in one link of a very long chain caused the whole bridge to fail. And that's why it's important that we realize how our parts really do matter. Every part. We need to find our part and play our part the best we can. There are lives at stake, and eternal lives at that. Your part matters. I think it matters far greater than you think it matters. It matters so much that not only can it be replaced, it will have to be replaced, just like every other part driving this engine when it wears out. But until then, we need to find our parts and play our parts best we can, understanding that we're making eternal differences. Do you realize the difference just this church alone, this congregation alone has made? We're just a drop in a bucket compared to the whole kingdom of God around the world. But do you realize what a difference just this little drop has made at home and around the world, financially and physically, supporting food pantries and soup kitchens and homeless shelters and jail ministries and crisis pregnancy centers and a Christian orphanage and a Sunday school and vacation Bible school and church camps and now life groups and Bible college and Christian radio and Christian counseling and Christian missionary work in Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Belize and Venezuela and Mexico and Africa and Italy and Austria and India. Just this little congregation, as well as helping to start brand new congregations. We've helped start one in Cambridge, one in Parkersburg, two in Cleveland, and our last start in Canada. That's not counting all the weddings and funerals and baptisms and family gatherings that this church helps with right here in the community. It doesn't count all the benevolent aid that we give to our neighbors in need. And the only reason a church this size can do all this, the only reason an engine this small, as a Licking Valley engine is, the only reason we can run at such a high RPM and put out such horsepower and torque is because we encourage each person to find their part. It's not a one-man show. The engine won't run on one part here at Valley. But we actually encourage each person to find their part and to play your part that God has called you to play, just the best that you can, because it really does make a difference. Makes an incredible difference around the world. I loved an editorial that I read in the January 5th edition of the New York Times this year, where Nicholas Kristof made the case that 2018 was actually the best year in human history. That's how it was entitled. That last year was the best year in human history. And I thought, this is interesting. I want to read this. And then he went on to delineate some of the good things that happened last year. Each day last year, on average, another 295,000 people around the world gained access to electricity for the first time. I never thought about that. And we've had electricity all our lives. Each day last year, according to the best statistics, almost 300,000 people received the benefit of electricity for the first time. Man, that was a great year for them, amen? That's wonderful what was done for them. But it didn't stop there. Every day last year, another 305,000 were able to gain access, personal access, to clean drinking water for the first time in their life. Wow. Over 300,000 people a day gained access to their own personal fountain. Man, what a year it must have been for those people. Each day, an additional 620,000 people were able to get online for the first time. Man, I can't even remember when I got online for the first time. How many times have I already been online this morning? 500,000 people gaining access to the internet every day. Never before has such a large portion of humanity been as literate as they became last year. Never before has such a large number of people lived a middle class lifestyle as they did last year. Or, maybe most important of all, never before have parents been more confident that their children will actually survive and live to adulthood. Kristof wrote that only about 4% of children worldwide now die by the age of 5. And I know that's still horrifying, that 4% of all children die before they reach age 5. But do you realize that's down from 19% when I was a child in 1960? In 1960, when I was 4 getting ready to turn 5, almost 20% of all the children in the world died before their fifth birthday. And now it's only 4%. In fact, today, in comparison, children today in Mexico or Brazil are less likely to die by age 5 than children were in America when I was 5, in Mexico and Brazil. Now, the big news that won't make a headline, it won't appear on a television screen, is that 15,000 children died in this world in the last 24 hours. 15,000. Sounds terrible, it is. But in 1990, it was 30,000 kids died a day. The mortality rate for children has been cut in half just since 1990. And that's largely happened because of all the people who found the part that God wanted them to play in making a real difference in this world. People found their life's calling. Preachers aren't the only one who are called to play a part in the running of this divine engine. Doctors, chemists, scientists, and even lawyers. They've all been called to play their parts. Now, next Sunday, Jeff's going to encourage all of us to own our part that God is calling us to play. And if you know what your part is, then your part right now is to play it just the best that you can. And if you don't yet know for sure what it is that God has called you to do in this light, then your part right now is finding out what your part is that God wants you to play. No one has the luxury to say, well, I guess I don't have a part. You do have a part. God is calling you. He's made you. He's gifted you. We are each members of the body. We're each parts of the engine. What part is it that God is calling you to play? It's a very important part. We need you to find it and then to play it just the very best that you can. And then also applaud all the others who are trying to find their parts and trying to play their part as well. Instead of looking out for number one, we need to be looking out for one another, like our text tells us to this morning. If one member suffers, all of us suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Another scripture verse in the New Testament says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. We should not neglect this assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is, but we ought to be encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We should be encouraging one another. Find our part. It's a little scary thinking maybe I do have an important part to play. You know, what if it involves getting up in front of people? That's terrifying. Well, for some people it is. And maybe that's not your part. So what is your part? Your important part. So important that it has to be replaced when your part wears out. I want us to take a lesson from Urban Meyer when he was asked what he attributed to his success. I loved his statement when Urban said he was a blessed man, that he'd been blessed with the best family, and the best coaches, and the best players. And that's why he considered himself so successful. Now, how would you like to be Ryan Day and to hear that about yourself and about your players and about your coaching staff that would be left behind when Urban left? That would be encouraging to hear that from a man who stood in the limelight and he could have taken all the credit for himself. But he didn't. Instead, what did he do? He talked about others. He encouraged others. He encouraged those who would be carrying the ball after him, after he was gone. The other coaches, the other players. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians and as members of the Lord's Licking Valley congregation, as parts of this one great engine. We are to find our part that the Lord engineered for us to play. And we are to play our part just the best we can. And then we're to encourage one another. We're to consider how we might stir one another up to finding their parts and trying to play their parts just to the best of their ability. That's how we keep God's engine running down through the centuries. And God's people said, amen. There comes a moment when a baby bird has to be nudged out of its nest to take its first flight. Now that is a calling that that bird will never experience if it doesn't give it a shot. I can't imagine how terrifying that must be for that little bird the first time it steps off into nothingness. It must feel something a little like this.
In today's breathing space, the courage of a brand new baby bird when it's time to take those first steps out of the nest. 50 feet in the air, wings untested. Instinct tells them it's time to go. The miracle is they listen. Each one trusts the call and jumps into the unknown. A whole new life waits for them beyond the cushion of leaves. It's our lesson to spread our wings and trust that we too will soar.
I know I'm giving some of you a little push here this morning, but I'm really asking you to consider through this series, what is it that the Lord is calling you to do? Find it and give it a shot. God has created each of you to play a part. And it is not to sit there and watch other people play their parts. There must be a feeling of safety and security sitting in a nice warm nest. But if you never find your calling, think of all you miss out on, the flight that's waiting upon you that you were created for. You are a very important part among many other very important parts. Together, all these parts are what keep this great engine running. And I'm asking, why not let this be the year you give your part a shot? God's people said, amen. Now, Christ found his part, didn't he? Think of this. At great risk to himself, Jesus stepped out of the heavenlies, came down to earth where nothing but a lowly manger and a couple from Nazareth caught him. But where he grew into the Son of Man that we remember him to be and that God planned him to be, and where he would be recognized as the very Son of God who had come down to die upon the cross for our sins. That was his part. And that's what we gather this morning to remember. By eating a piece of bread and drinking a cup of juice, we remember Christ coming, Christ's reason for coming, and dying for us. And as the emblems are passed, if you would like to remember with us, you're welcome to join us. Let's pray together, please. Lord God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who could have stayed safely at your side, but instead answered your call upon his life and came down from heaven to earth where he would be caught in the lowliest of conditions, but raised to live his part, play his part, to die on the cross for our sins. We meet this morning to thank you again and to remember again your Son Jesus, who through his death paid for our forgiveness. We thank you for him. We thank you for giving him. We pray now, Lord, we will use these gifts that you have given us to play our parts in serving him and keeping your engine running. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said.